Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 is about winning souls. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, there is wisdom in soul winning. And the wisdom in soul winning is in three different respects. First of all, it's a wise thing to do. Secondly, you have to be wise to do it. And third, you get wisdom from doing it. He that winneth souls is wise, because the more souls he wins, the wiser he becomes. He that winneth souls is wise because he has to be wise to do it. He that winneth souls is wise because it's a wise thing to do. And that's what we want to study today, the wise soul winner. Now, let me say this. As we go off into the message, you're going to learn some things just by cross-referencing Scripture here, and certainly this is a study. But you know something? This is one of those studies where you and I need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That is, as we learn what we're going to learn from the text today, we need to think about how we, as God's children, can be used for the Lord Jesus Christ to actually go about and put into practice what we're hearing. That is, talking to others about Jesus Christ that they might be saved. All right, he that winneth souls is wise because it is a wise thing to do. It is wise because of these three things. First of all, it is wise to be obedient. All right, look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord said to his disciples when he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, he said, "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And he said, you don't have to worry about this happening in your own power. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." All right? And we are to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the right thing to do. That is obedience to our Savior. Now, naturally speaking, when you have an event that happens in your life that's very special or very important, you want other people to know about it. For instance, when a bride gets married, she wants others to know about it. When somebody wins a great prize, they want others to know about it. When they win a great competition, they want others to know about it. Well, certainly the greatest thing that could possibly ever happen to you in life is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, you're certainly going to want other people to know about it. And the Lord said, not only, you know, because you'd want others to know, but he said, "I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them. I want you to witness." And the nice thing about it is that it doesn't take a genius to witness. In other words, when you want to tell somebody else what happened to you, you simply give them the facts of what happened to you. You recognize that you were a sinner. You needed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You received him as your Savior, and you were saved. You might want to go into more detail than that, but it's not that hard to witness because you're simply giving a testimony about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for them. And that's obedience, and obedience is wise. I know that when I was a child, my parents wanted me to obey them, and when I did, it was wise. It was a wise thing to do because I avoided a lot of torment. Or potential torment, by doing what I was told to do. All right, winning souls is a wise thing to do because it's obedient, but also it is wise to produce after the natural order. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." When he made the animals, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." When he put the fruit-bearing trees in the earth, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." That is the natural order of anything that God has created. Now, when you get saved, you're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see that? All right, then, the natural order of anything that God has anything to do with is fruit production. And notice even in our text it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. All right, so that when you and I get saved, we're like a tree of life. And for us to produce after the natural order is a very natural thing to do, and it's also a very wise thing to do. You know, for a tree not to produce fruit, something has to be wrong with it. It has to be diseased or undernourished or underwatered, you know, or something like that. And when it is properly nourished and it's properly watered and it's properly controlled as far as disease is concerned, it's going to produce. So you, after you get saved, if you get into a good local church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, then you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to flourish in your nutrition. The disease, like things that come upon you as a result of sin, are going to stay off of you. And the natural thing is for you to produce. And there's wisdom in that, because that's God's natural order. All right, another thing that makes soul winning a wise thing to do, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. The reason that that winning souls is wisdom, or that there's wisdom in winning souls, is that it builds up rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, after you pass away, after you've served your life here as a Christian in the earth, you're going to face Jesus Christ at something called the judgment seat of Christ. And when you do, there are the possibilities for you to win rewards from the Lord. And rewards come in various kinds of categories. We're not going to study the judgment seat of Christ today, but we will study one aspect of it. And one aspect of the judgment seat of Christ is that God is going to give every soul winner a crown. That's right. Every soul winner is going to get a crown. Now listen, when I heard about this for the first time, I got very excited, because I don't know how you live your life, but after I first heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't live for him. I did for a while, but I allowed myself to get tied up with some things in the world, and I wasted a lot of time. So after I started serving the Lord Jesus Christ and realized that it was possible at the judgment seat of Christ to win a reward for leading souls to Jesus Christ, I decided there was a good possibility I might not get anything else, but I would sure want to get that crown. I wouldn't want to be up there bald-headed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Now the crown of rejoicing, he says, what is it? It's you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Well, only saved people are going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. And the reason that Paul was rejoicing is that he's the one that led some of these Thessalonians to the Lord. And so he knew that he would have a crown, a soul winner's crown. And not only that, if you can draw some parallels from a text in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 16, Zechariah 9:16 says that the Lord is going to consider saved people as stones of a crown. The Bible says, "The Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land." So if you win a soul to Jesus Christ, you'll get a soul winner's crown, and then each soul that you lead to the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a crown in that, I mean a jewel or a stone in that crown. Well, man, I'm going to tell you what a delightful thing for eternity to be able to wear a crown given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ that had stones in it representative of people that you and I led to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's wisdom in that. So he that winneth souls is wise, because winning souls is a wise thing to do. It's wise to obey God. It's wise to produce after the natural order of things that God created. And it's wise to build rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But that's not all. He that winneth souls is wise, because you have to be wise to do it. In other words, when a man has the opportunity to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, he has to exercise some wisdom. It's not just a matter of going up there and bopping a guy on the top of the head and say, "You need to get saved," and then watching him get saved. It amounts to having wisdom to be able to do the work. And you're going to get wisdom from three different areas, at least the three that we're going to talk about today. You're going to get wisdom from the Scriptures. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if a man is lost and he reads the Bible is going to give him wisdom to have salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But also, if a man who is saved reads the Bible, he is going to also have the wisdom of salvation. And by his wisdom, he is going to have verses that he can use to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You get wisdom from the Scriptures. You know, when you have the opportunity to lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's great to have some Scripture memorized. And I can remember when I first started serving the Lord, I found out quickly some verses that a man should use in talking to another soul about Jesus. And I memorized those verses. I memorized verses on grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I memorized verses on sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I memorized verses on judgment. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I memorized verses on how to be saved. That if thou shalt believe with all thine, if thou shalt believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's one part of Romans chapter 10. The other part is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I memorized the verse that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 and 13. You see, verses like those and many others are very good to have in your arsenal. Because then when you need to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, you'll have the verses that will be able to show them their need and God's provision and show them how to receive the Lord. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The scriptures will give you the wisdom you need to lead souls to Jesus Christ. Many times, too, you'll memorize verses of Scripture that really don't have anything to do with salvation, as it would seem, and the Lord can use those to bring another soul to Christ. We had the opportunity at one time to lead a husband and wife to the Lord. He was raised in the Lutheran church and had been attending the Catholic church, and he believed in God. And he couldn't see why he had to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior if he already believed in God. And I was fishing around for something and decided that I would give him something out of John chapter 14. And instead of starting with verse 6, I started with verse 1. And I said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And he said, "Stop right there." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because there's the verse that you needed to show me that answers the question why I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." And I didn't even get it. I said, "Really? What? What?" He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "There's a command from the Lord that I had to believe in Jesus Christ." I said, "Okay." He said, "Good, I'm ready to get saved." Amazing. Amazing. That was the scripture that he needed. Another lady just would not accept the fact that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She thought that she was good enough to get in on her own righteousness. And we had to convince her of sin. I mean, really, when I say we had to find a verse of Scripture the Holy Spirit could use to convince her of sin. And I was fishing around there trying to find something, and then I realized the verse that Jesus Christ quoted concerning the greatest commandment. And the greatest commandment is that you need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And I said to her, I said, "Well, have you done that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?" And she said, "Well, no, I haven't." I said, "Well, wouldn't you say that it's a sin to break a commandment of God like that?" And she said, "Well, yes, I suppose it would be." And then I said, "Well, if that's the greatest commandment and you've broken that, then what kind of sinner does that make you?" And you know, she thought about that and said, "Well, I guess that would make me the greatest sinner." And it was after that that she realized her personal need of receiving Jesus Christ as her Savior. And it was after that that she got saved. So you get wisdom from the Scriptures, but you also get wisdom from fearing the Lord. And you have to be wise to lead souls to Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know something? You and I are going to face the Lord with the blood of the lost on our hands if we've had the opportunity to lead them to Jesus Christ and we didn't do it. You say, how so? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, I know, but let's keep reading it, okay? Let's read this and go to some others and then see what the Bible says. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Oh, boy. Now, God was telling Ezekiel, you're going to be a watchman, and if I give you a message to give those wicked people a warning, and you don't warn them, they're going to die. But when they do, the blood's going to be on your hands. Now, look, in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. You know what the Bible says there? This is already in the new heavens and the new earth. This is already past, you know, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. This is you and I with the Lord. And the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Well, that's wonderful. But if that's the case, why is God having to wipe away all tears from their eyes? Well, the reason is you and I are going to be at the white throne judgment, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're not going to go through the white throne judgment because we have the opportunity to be thrown into hell. We're going to be there as witnesses to the judgment of God, giving our agreement that his judgment is right. We're going to be like the jury. Now, here's the problem. You've got relatives that you've not witnessed to. You have friends that you've not witnessed to. You have associates that you've not witnessed to. You have acquaintances that you've not witnessed to. You've got relatives that you have not witnessed to. And when you get to heaven and you are at the white throne judgment, those relatives and acquaintances and associates and friends are going to be there at the white throne judgment. And if they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God is going to throw them into the lake of fire, because whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Obviously, that is going to cause you and me a great deal of pain, because we will have known that we had the opportunity to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ and kept our mouth shut. Wouldn't try. Guess what? That puts the blood on our hands. And God wipes away all tears from their eyes. Why? Because we realize we failed. Now, in the fear of the Lord, you won't do that. In the fear of the Lord, you'll have wisdom and you'll say, man, I can't. God's going to throw them into the lake of fire if I don't do something about this. And God, you know, I'm going to face this at the judgment seat of Christ if I don't do something about this. And so you open up your mouth. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. When Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, he said very confidently, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Wow, what a statement of confidence. You know what that means? That means Paul knew that every man that he had the opportunity to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, he told. And that the blood, he's pure from their blood. The blood's not going to be on his hands because he told them. All right, he that winneth souls is wise, because you have to be wise to do it. And you get your wisdom from the scriptures, and you get your wisdom from the fear of the Lord, and you get your wisdom from the Spirit of God. Look at Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3. Exodus chapter 31, look at verse 3. Talking about Bezalel, this was the guy that built a lot of the stuff for the tabernacle. The Bible says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So if you have to be wise to lead souls to Jesus Christ, you'll get your wisdom from the scriptures, from the fear of God, and from the Spirit of God. In other words, there are some things that the Holy Spirit will give you while you are witnessing that will awaken the sinner's recognition that he needs Jesus Christ, and he'll give you the words to help that man realize, or that woman realize, that he or she needs Jesus and that they got to receive him now. You'll get that from the Spirit of God. I cannot tell you how many times I've witnessed to people, And they were skeptical, and they were argumentative, and various other things like that. And the Spirit of God put something into my heart or into my mind, however it was, that I said, and that was the very thing that pried them loose from their stubbornness. I was just a vessel, and you'll just be a vessel. But the Spirit of God will be able to use you and give you wisdom. You'll look at that situation, you go, you know what I need to do? I need to do this or say this or whatever, and God will use that to lead the soul to Christ. Now, I'll show you a time when the Holy Spirit gave a man wisdom, and actually, the guy didn't even realize it. To him, it was the most foolish thing he possibly could have done, and it was the very thing that the sinner needed to get saved. The guy was on a ski slope. He was very zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was talking to a guy that was going up the ski lift with him about Jesus Christ, and he was witnessing to him, and the fella wouldn't receive Jesus. And so when my friend got off the ski lift with the fella, he says, you know, you sure you don't want to receive Jesus Christ? He said, no, I don't. He said, well, then if that's the case, you can just go to hell. And phew, down the slope he went. Now, that doesn't seem like a very wise thing to say. And quite frankly, I don't know of a time when I would just come off like that. But that's what this guy did. And then he went off down the slope. And boy, about halfway down that slope, he really smote his heart that he had told that guy to go to hell like that. And he crashed his skis. And I mean, he had a major wipeout on that slope. Well, that guy that he'd witnessed to was following him. And he came to a stop right next to my friend lying there in the twisted skis and twisted poles and sore ankles. And he said, well, I'm glad that happened. And my friend, of course, took that for, you know, what goes around comes around. You told me to go to hell. I'm glad you fell on the slope. But that isn't what the guy meant. He said, I'm glad that happened to you. And he said, well, why? And he said, because I was trying to catch up to you. And I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to. When you mentioned to me that without Christ I'd be on my way to hell, I got so concerned about that I wanted to catch you because I wanted to hear the rest of the story. I need to get saved. And right there in that pile of skis and snow, my friend was able to lead that guy to Jesus Christ. You know what happened? The Spirit of God gave him wisdom at a time when he even considered it to be foolishness. All right, he that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because it's a wise thing to do. Why? Because you have to be wise to do it. And then he that winneth souls is wise because you get wisdom from doing it. That is, a wisdom that comes from the experience of knowing some things about soul winning. In other words, the more you do it, the better you get at it. There's a wisdom that you accumulate with experience. And in that experience, you'll know how to win them, you'll know when to win them, and you'll know what to do with them after you win them. All right, how to win them. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 16. As an example, just one example. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 16. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Being crafty, I caught you with guile. In other words, the Corinthians were hard to win. And Paul, what do we say, used reverse psychology? Something like that. In order to win them, they were a little bit hard to get, but he got them. The more you lead souls to Jesus Christ, the more you are going to be able to recognize certain things that you need to do and certain things that you don't need to do in trying to lead that soul to Christ. Now, one of the things that I've learned over the years is this. When I have the opportunity to witness to somebody, I am simply furthering the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I may not get the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. I may not get the opportunity to see them pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if I don't, I want to make sure that what we've given them out of the Scripture will help them the next time another soul winner or preacher comes their way to want to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not going to try to turn them off at all. I want to advance the work of the Holy Spirit, not hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? That takes time. That there's a wisdom that comes from knowing how to do that. All right, there's a wisdom that comes from experience of knowing when to win them. By that I mean this. You know, there was a time when I thought if I could get anybody to listen to me, I'd try to get them to pray with me. I don't do it like that anymore. I mean, I want them to pray if they're ready, but you've got to give three things time to work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells you that when they're saved by the Word of God. So the Word of God has to have time to work. In other words, if I talk to a man about Jesus Christ, and he's considering what I've given him, but he doesn't recognize from what he's heard that he needs to get saved, I'll leave him with it. I'll let him have the time where the Word of God can work on his soul. Then the next thing that has to happen is that Jesus has to draw them, and got to have time for that to happen. Got to have time for that to happen. John chapter 12, verse 32 shows you that the Lord Jesus Christ draws them to him. And then John chapter 3, verse 6 shows you that the Spirit of God regenerates them. So the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God have got to have time to bring them to the place where he is ready or she is ready to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. Sometimes these things happen quickly and sometimes they happen very slowly. You just get that experience of wisdom from the more time you spend trying to lead souls to Christ. But if the Word of God hasn't worked enough to bring them under conviction, or the Holy Spirit is not there regenerating them when they're trying to pray, or the Lord Jesus Christ not drawing them, you're going to have a problem in your heart about whether or not they prayed simply to get you off of their back, or whether they prayed because they were really getting saved. And you'll get wisdom the more that you spend time doing this. And then finally, you get wisdom from leading souls to Jesus Christ because you get experience of knowing what to do with them after you win them. 2 Timothy, I know we've given you a lot here, but this is, you know, we're trying to be thorough. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and this is a great verse of Scripture, he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What you got to do after you win them is disciple them and help them to grow. And it takes wisdom to see that and do that. All right, so he that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because it's a wise thing to do. It's wise to be obedient to Christ. It's wise to produce after the natural order. It's wise to build rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. He that winneth souls is wise because you have to be wise to do it, and you get wisdom from the Scriptures and from fearing the Lord and from the Spirit of God. And he that winneth souls is wise because you get wisdom the more you do it. You get wisdom on how to win them, when to win them, and what to do with them after you win them. Well, we pray this has been a help to you, mainly so that it's an encouragement to strengthen your conviction to go out and tell the people you know about Jesus Christ so that they can be saved.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.